all over the place tonight, but who's my anointed? Okay, Tiff, come on now. Is the mic on here? Is she good? Remember, Tiff, when you get to "and," it's got to be "on." God. Have we trained her in this yet? We got it? Come on, mic check. Just give her one that's working. So Matthew 22, let's go there. We're going to start in verse 34.
There it is.
All right,
okay.
Tiff, you ready?
Yes.
You got your voice on?
No.
No? Okay, let's go.
But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they
all
gathered.
Right there. I'm going to stop her. You're going to get broken real good here. So, you know, Pastor Tim's used to it. Sadducees. Everybody say Sadducees. So what I try to do is I try to teach context for everybody. So this is important because if you read the word and you don't understand what you're reading, you're not going to gain what God is trying to get to you, okay? Sadducees is very important because there's a difference between Pharisees and Sadducees, all right? Pharisees believed in the resurrection of the dead. Sadducees did not. So right off the rip, Jesus in context is dealing with people who do not believe in the resurrection. Why is this important? Because we're talking about self-love. You're going to have to believe that there's a side of you that's about to be resurrected. Hear me. Y'all here tonight? In order for us to really grab this, you're going to have to believe in the spirit of resurrection because there are some things as it pertains to you that are dead that should be living. One of that is value. Self-value. And I'm talking about self-love tonight. I'm not talking about a lover of self. There is a difference. Self-love is not becoming a lover of self. We are not in this to be conceited or arrogant. Self-love is something that is completely different. You can give a compliment to somebody who has self-love and it doesn't make them arrogant. It does nothing more than affirm what they already know about themselves. Come on, somebody. One of the greatest tragedies in the world that we live in is that we do not view ourselves the way the Father views us. One of the reasons we do relationships wrong is because we're jumping into relationships thinking that it's their job to identify or give us identity in areas that only God can. It's been said several times that a relationship is not two halves coming together, but rather two wholes. Why do relationships fail? Because we're getting into relationships and we have not got into a relationship with ourselves first. So you're going to have to understand the value of learning yourself. And listen, I'm not standing here preaching as if Pastor Gail's got it all together. This is something that we are on a self-evolving understanding of what God has called us all to be. So, Matthew 22. Y'all here tonight? Kind of quiet. Okay, Matthew 24. So, we're going to continue here. Watch this. Let's pick up where you left off there, Tiff.
They gathered themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Right there. Everybody say, love my neighbor as myself. Problem is, if you hate yourself, it's giving you permission to hate your neighbor. Come on now. Why do you treat people the way that you treat them? It's because you treat yourself that way. If you treat yourself that way, well, I love myself. Why do you keep putting yourself in the same situations that's hurting you? Come on, somebody. Never, ever, ever mistake. Come on now. Never mistake. And I've heard this. Actually, somebody, I can't remember who posted this on Facebook, man. It grabbed me. It's something I've heard over the years. But never mistake a cycle for a season. There's a difference, okay? But this is so imperative that we understand because when you love yourself, you are not going to continue to put yourself in situations that is hurting you. Okay? So if you're hurting you, you have to diagnose the fact that you have love issues concerning yourself. Yeah. that you really do not love yourself, which makes you very dangerous as it relates to you getting into a relationship. The enemy loves to answer prayers. It's not just God. It's not just God. This is why meditation is so important, because it's the one way to pray the enemy can't hear. When you speak it out loud, you're also inviting not only an ally in the Holy Spirit, but also the enemy, and he's privy to the things that you desire. Lord, I'm lonely, but secretly what you're asking God is send somebody to cure my loneliness. And so what the enemy says, oh, I just got just a person, another lonely person over there. I'm just, come on, praise. I'm going to combine you. And then you're just going to be two people that's walking around in a temporary peace that's only going to last until the next trial. Then all hell's going to break back loose. Why? Because you did not do it. See, God loves to help you fix your situations, but real wholeness takes time. You can go to the doctor. We love to, when we get sick, we love to go to the doctor. They'll give us an antibiotic or give us things that kind of cure us quick, right? But you're not, all they're doing is relieving symptoms. They're not curing the issue. Wholeness takes time because you got to change a diet. Your body will respond to the things that you're putting in it. When God's healing you, he sets you at a different table. Y'all catching this? When God is healing us, he sits us at a different table with different companies serving different things. Now, you may not desire what's on the table because your appetite is still married to the other table. Come on now. That's why we're not experiencing this peace. It's sometimes we don't like to go to church. Why? Because you're around the cure, but you don't desire it. You don't desire it. Oh, sure, we want what it looks like in the end. We just don't want the middle stuff. Maybe that's why God doesn't show you the middle. Show me where God showed Joseph Potiphar's betrayal. Show me where God showed Joseph the pit. Show me where God showed Joseph his brothers would betray him. He didn't. He just showed him at the end sitting with all the royalty that he was. He just showed him ruling over people and all this stuff. That's what he showed him. Right? Because he knew the hope would be the thing that would draw him through the middle. When God is healing us, he sets us at a different table. They have different conversations at this table than the old one. They talk about different things at this table. The food is different. Everything about it is different. The way you eat is different. The time that you eat is different. Why? Because it's designed for healing and wholeness, not just a relief of symptoms. It's good teaching. See, when you love yourself the right way, you'll start treating yourself as if you have a future that you're supposed to be around for. The lack of restraint in our life is proof, come on somebody, that we have no vision beyond where we're at. Restraint is proof. Your ability to manage, your ability to withhold, your ability to have delayed gratification is proof you see yourself doing something in tomorrow. The lack of says you don't. We could close down now. There's enough that was said. Come on now. Y'all here? I had a pastor ask me just a couple days ago, man, he said, do they know what they got? I'm not sure. Sometimes we can set up under teaching that's life-changing and get used to it and familiar with it. When I tell you this stuff is nuggets that will change your entire world, there's conferences that people will pack out by the thousands to come to get word just like this that will change their entire world. Take very serious what you're hearing right now, because if you apply it, it's no longer information. It's transformation. Amen. So watch this. So Jesus replied, he said, The last part, he says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. All the law of the prophets hang on these two commandments. Now, somebody says to me, you're a grace teacher. I don't want to be here too long. So do we throw the law away? We're not justified by the law. But it's still good. How many know it's still good to not kill people? How many know it's still good to not covet? Amen. Right? But why do you do that? Because a tablet of stone says that? No, we don't kill people. Why? Because we love our neighbor as ourselves. Right? So it's love that causes us to say, I don't want to covet from you. Why? Because I love you. I don't want to kill you. Why? I don't want to steal from you. Why? Because I love you. It's love that fulfills these, and that's what Jesus is talking about here. So I want to switch over here just real quick. So I want you to go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. And if you don't have the Message Bible, please download it on your phone, your whatever device you got. You want to get access to the Message Bible interpretation. It's really, really phenomenal. I put this down before we go there, and I think this is important. I want you to remember this. You're not ready for a relationship if spending time with yourself is tormenting. What you say a couple weeks ago there, Javen? What was that? Yeah, what'd you say? Get it out! Listen, if spending time with yourself feels like torment, you're not ready for a relationship. How do I know I'm ready for a relationship? Because being with me is good enough. Because if you do not conquer this first, you abuse the purpose of anything connected to you. Say it again. If we do not conquer how to be comfortable with us first, we will abuse anything else connected to us. I know this through personal experience. Trust me when I tell you, being with Gail Brannon, I don't call myself pastor. I know some pastors who do. I don't. I don't wake up in the morning and say, hey, pastor. But being with you can be very tormenting. Why? Because you're left with your thoughts concerning you. You're left with your thoughts concerning you. Everybody say imagine. Come on, imagination. What's the key word there? Image nation. In other words, you have a self-image. Imagination isn't your ability just to create a thing. It's coming from an image that was already sold to you. You're drawing a reality based off a feeling that somebody told you should feel about you. Woo! You're not just painting on a canvas because you like to draw. You're putting on the canvas what somebody told you to. It's in your subconscious. When you grew up as a little boy or as a little girl and dad wasn't there, or mom said that you didn't look pretty or whatever, you may say, well, I got over that years ago. Really? Then why are you doing the things you're doing? You're calling it your past, but you brought it to your present. It's not past. Come on, it's not behind you. It's still the very thing that is causing you to make the decisions that you're making in your life because you're still living there subconsciously. You're still the little girl in an adult body still trying to prove yourself pretty or valuable or approved or whatever it is that you're dealing with. And you're still the man that's still trying to prove himself loved or accepted. And so you do everything you can to fill the void that they left when you was just little and vulnerable and you was in so many ways just innocent. And you was too young to understand mentally what was taking place, so you buried it. When we do not understand a thing, we still bear it. You do not have to understand a thing to bear a thing. Some of us have been riding passenger to other people's opinions about us for years. You have not been driving your own car. You are riding passenger to what they told you was. Some of y'all are trying to fulfill dreams that was never your dream. It isn't your responsibility to fulfill the dream that mom and dad failed to do. That's what God put on them. They'll answer for those decisions. God has uniquely called you to things that he's called you to, and your job is to say yes to that. That's right. Amen. Amen. This okay tonight? Come on, say, I'm learning to love myself. Woo. Man. Spending time with yourself will begin the journey that unlocking how you truly feel about you. I want to challenge you this week. Take yourself out to eat. I don't care. Well, I don't have the money. But then go cook it at home, but stay by yourself. Do something. I don't care what it is. Something, and the only date you got is you. And as you begin to feel, navigate those feelings. Because that's where the journey to healing is. The biggest hindrance to my own healing in my own life has been my inability to stay in a season of isolation. And I've tried to, every time I get into isolation, man, it's like the Holy Spirit says, stay, and I jump out. Why? Because, man, it don't feel good there. Man, I don't feel good here. Why? Because my giftings and as good as I can preach and teach and sing, none of that matters in this place. It matters over here. I love when y'all say amen over here. Yeah, it makes me feel like I'm mature and I'm doing something. But God said, no, get back here, David. Get back here. David was anointed king in isolation. Can I just say how I feel it? Isolation sucks. That's a good holy word for tonight. It just sucks. It does. Why? Because all of your go-tos that you have to counterfeit feelings, they don't work here. They don't work here. And God will not call you to a place of healing in a crowd. I love Zacharias, the rich man. He meets Jesus and he's standing in a tree. He's a little dude standing in a tree. And he asks Jesus, man, he's like, man, what? How do I get eternal life? He asks this question. Jesus says, that's a pretty deep answer. Get out of the tree. We're going to go to your house. Because that's where he answers those mysteries. You want to change? I'm not answering in the crowd. I'm going to get right where you live. I dare you to say, Holy Spirit, get right where I live tonight. Woo-wee! I don't know if you know this, but we become professional pretenders. Jesus, I've said this before, but it's worth saying at this moment. Do you realize that Jesus was 30 when he started his ministry? Which means he was in process for 30 years and only did 3 years of ministry. 90% of his life was process. 10% was fulfillment. And you're being critical on you? This man had no sin. Not all healing is about dealing with sin. You need to get this. Not all healing is about getting sin out of your life. As a matter of fact, there come to a point where it's no longer sin, y'all. It's just a lack of identity that you continue to flirt with over and over and over and over and over. It keeps producing the wrong things in our lives. Amen, somebody? So listen, man, learning to love yourself requires a season of isolation. Let's swing over to 1 John here. Y'all still with me? We're going to go to 1 John 4, 7 through 10. Let's read, Tiff.
My beloved friends, let us continue to love each other since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship
with God. So slow down on this. Everybody who loves is born of God. I want you to quit thinking about this in terms of loving people. I want you to see this by loving you. Loving you. How you treat yourself matters. Let's watch. Let's read. My reader's over there taking notes. I love it.
Yes.
I love you, Tiff.
The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God. Because God is
love. Wait. So the person who refuses to love, which means loving you too, don't know nothing about God. How do you want to get to know God? Why don't you get to know his creation? That includes you. That includes you. Not just your history. Get to know you. Journey in to one's self is the most important journey that you'll ever take in your life. To know you. And the only way to do it is go through a season to where God silences all the voices. Yes. And when God does that, it doesn't mean you'll be away from the crowds. It just means you won't be connected. You ever been in a season to where you're around a whole bunch of people, but you absolutely feel by yourself? Quit looking like that, like a curse. That means that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. Isolation doesn't mean you're alone. You got to learn to love you. Why? God created you. He created you. There's nobody ever been created like you. There's nobody that's ever been created like you. There are things, you know, I believe God is so intimate with us. I was actually looking through my Facebook feed the other day and seeing this video. I was on the couch dying laughing. And I thought to myself, I wonder if God thinks this stuff is funny. And I promise you, it's not that like there was an audible voice, but there was a sense of laughter that come over me, and it almost felt like the Holy Spirit was cracking up. Like, I do feel like God enjoys our personalities. He's got to enjoy my wife's personality, the funniest person on earth, right? There is... I believe that God has made, there is stuff that you laugh at that maybe nobody else thinks funny, but God is with you on it. Like, man, Tila, I know, they crazy, ain't they? Like, but he's God. He's that holy that, the Bible says he was touched with the feelings of our infirmity. He knows what it's like to be human. Jesus came so that all mysteries could be solved. He had mysteries before becoming human. He didn't know what pain was like. He didn't know what it felt like to be human, to breathe the breath that he, the air that he created. All the things that it meant to be human, to be limited, he stepped into that, denounced his deity, stepped into humanity, and became God through it. It's beautiful. And so let's continue here. So watch this. He says, this is how God showed his love. Oh, pick up where you left off, Tip. Sorry.
So you can't know him if you don't love. This is how God showed
him. So every time I see that, that keeps getting, killing me right there. Say it one time, Tiff. I promise I'm going to cut you off right now. Go ahead, Tiff.
This is
see, how that's what I'm saying. I promise, Tiff. Just go ahead. I'm just joking.
This is how God showed his love for us.
Right there. So my point is, as you begin to love yourself, what does that mean? That's not just, when you take that journey, you're not just going to have natural affections for yourself. It takes time to get to know you. Some of us do not know us. We only know our deficiencies. God wants to introduce you to everything else. And some of you are viewing some of the stuff you're dealing with as deficiencies, and it's your unique factor. You're only viewing yourself as a negative because somebody told you it was a negative. Why? Because them being that is pretending, but it's organically you. You're different than mom, and you're different than dad. You may come from them, but you are uniquely different. God formed you in the womb. He knows everything it is about you. You are uniquely different. The world has never seen you before. They've never seen you before, and it's a tragedy when you ain't ever met you. God has been doing some things, man, but listen, man, when you're healing, you know what? There's certain things that'll manifest. You'll start feeling more comfortable looking people in the eye when you talk. People that look away, there's insecurity there. Because they don't really know their authority yet. And they're not comfortable with making decisions that may go against the grain. Because they don't realize that God's called them to be a path maker. You're unique. Just say this. I am unique. There's never been a me. Come on, say it like you mean. There's never been a me. How dare you say this? I am beautiful. I am different. I am unique. I am loved by me. Let's continue. I promise I got to get to that point.
God sent his only son into the world so we might live through him. This is the kind of
That's what self-love is. It's not seeing yourself through your own lenses. It's seeing yourself through him. You cannot afford to think thoughts about you. God is not thinking. The hardest times that you will face as it relates to that is when you do something stupid. It's so hard to come off a season of failure or a season of bondage or a season of sin or a season of whatever you struggle with and accept the fact that you are still in Christ and there is now, therefore, no condemnation. God does not use it. God does not use punishment. He'll prune you, but he does not punish in the new covenant. Well, God does punish. Well, what's he waiting on then? He's got everything he needs on you. Well, all hell's breaking loose. That's not because of God. It's because you're reaping what you sow. You keep doing stupid stuff. Stupid stuff happens. Come on now. Sin has its own consequences. It don't need no help to punish us. We've been giving it everything it needs, right? So look at here. This is real important. So continue, Tiff. Come on. We're going to get through this, Tiff. We're doing good tonight.
This is the kind of love we are talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God.
Isn't this crazy? That part of loving yourself is also to clear away a sin mindset. It is to, when you start loving yourself, you are going to face thinking about yourself that has been rooted in bondage and condemnation, and you're going to have to re-examine yourself, reimagine yourself. Remember I said imagine, imagination, imagination. You're going to have to imagine yourself through the work of the cross. You are not a sinner saved by grace. You are a saint, the Bible says. A saint isn't just someone who walks around saying, I'm holy in self-righteousness. No, 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 no. A saint is somebody who is accepting what God has done at the cross through the Son. It didn't say get holy. It said be holy. How do you do that? You're accepting Christ, who is your holiness. We are... Continue, Tiff. We're going to get through this. I promise.
My dear friends, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love each other.
Continue. Verse 12.
No one has seen God ever, but if we love one another, God dwells deeply within us, and his love becomes complete in us. Perfect love.
Right there. Here we go. Y'all ready? Watch how powerful this is. Let's get this. Everybody say perfect love.
Perfect love.
That's the Greek word there, agape. Mm-hmm. Right? Perfect love. Now watch this. Mm-hmm.
This is how we know we're living steadily and deeply in him. Woo. And he in us. He's given us life from sin, from his life. No. One more time, guys. He's given us life, from his very own spirit. Also, we've seen for ourselves and continue to
see. This is the beauty of it. How many have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? You can always tell spiritual people by the way they worship. It's not to beat anybody up. But people who have a relationship with the Holy Spirit respond to the presence different. Why? Because it is the Holy Spirit. You are intimately familiar with it. Jesus talks about, he says, those who have been forgiven much love much. What is worshipers? People that just loving on God much. That's what it is. It is the spirit of gratitude that comes through. Some people come to our church and they say, man, y'all sing a lot. We're not singers. We're worshipers. We worship a lot because of what God has done for us. And the presence of God is tangible. It's not just singing songs. When you open your heart to the Holy Spirit, you stop paying attention to how long we're singing, because there's transaction happening here. You're no longer just in a church building. You are responding to heaven as it's pulling at your heart. Right? And so it's one of these things here to where I love what John's saying here, because he says here, he said, we have seen ourselves, we continue to stay. No, go back to verse 13 here. Yeah. This is how we know that we're living steadily and deeply in him, and he in us. He's given us life from his life, from his very own spirit. When you are learning to love yourself, you have to rely on the Holy Spirit to show you that. Now, some will say, well, I've never heard the Holy Spirit. Well, you probably won't hear an audible voice. And one of the reasons we miss the Holy Spirit is because we don't love ourselves, and the Holy Spirit always uses our tone to teach us. And if you don't value your voice, you're going to miss the leading of the Holy Spirit. Listen, you can't even read a book without your tone, because you read it in your own head. It's your voice that's reading to you. You get this? That's why it's so important to value you. When you say something to you, it's got to mean something. And so he's saying from his own spirit. So there'll be times, man, you'll be at the, you'll just be doing life, whether you're at the gym or wherever you're at, and you'll engage in a conversation that the old man engaged in. And then the Holy Spirit will remind you. How do you know it's him? Because it is literally going to counter what you're doing at that moment. You're going to feel his leading, trust me. He will make himself known to you that this is me. When he does that, surrender to that moment. Stop it. Why? Because he's trying to teach you how to love yourself. And you're doing something that is opposite to that. If you loved yourself, you wouldn't do that. He's going to teach you how to love yourself. I can give you 100 principles, but that's not what's going to set you free. The leading of the Holy Spirit give you one principle. I can give you 10 principles, and you'll never remember any of them, but you'll always remember the principles that you hear from the Spirit. Every step you take concretes that in your memory. The reason we forget certain things is because we are not taking steps of surrender with the principle. That's why we walk by the Spirit. So you have to do it. When he says, you may say something like this, man, I'm just stupid. Well, you're not. Not stupid. You may think it's just nothing, but you actually believe you are. Oh, man, that was just this or whatever, or doing something toxic that's causing cycles in your life, and the Holy Spirit will stop it. You need to pay attention to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Why? He's going to teach you how to love yourself, but through his eyes. You're valuable to him. I hate these songs, man, less of me and more of him. He had less of you, and he didn't like it, so he created you. He wants all of you. Yes. But you got to quit diminishing yourself. He wants less of your flesh, but he wants all of who he made you. Did y'all catch that? He had less of you. He didn't like it. So he formed you in a womb. He took him over to intimacy and thought about, this is a good place to create Karen. This is a good place to create Divine. Good place to create Derek. Good place to create Shawnee. Right here. He creates you through it. Woo. So watch this. Let's finish this. I promise I'm going to wrap up 5 more minutes. Y'all with me tonight?
Also, we've seen for ourselves and continue to state openly that the Father sent his Son as Savior of the world. Everyone who confesses that Jesus is God's Son participates continuously in an intimate relationship with God. We know it so well, we've embraced it heart and soul, this love that comes from God. God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house, becomes at home and mature.
Stop
in
right
us.
There. Did y'all feel
That's
that?
So good.
Oh. Did y'all feel that? Love has the what? What house? You. Know ye not that your body is the temple or the housing of the Holy Spirit? That's what Paul said. Love has the run of the house. Fear is no longer telling you who you are. Love is. You got to be careful what you pay attention to. You become it. Keep looking at your deficiencies. There's a reason why when Jesus showed up, John said, behold, or look at the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. You become what you behold. Whatever you're staring at is going to become your future. You got to pay attention to the beauty that God made you. So many Christians spend all their prayer time rebuking the stuff they don't like about each other and never staring at the good stuff. The stuff you don't like will diminish once you start looking at the right stuff. The ultimate rebuke is changing what you look at. That's good teaching. We sitting there shouting at the devil, we need to start looking at the things God told us to look at. And listen, that's why Peter said, resist the enemy and he'll flee. You don't have to keep saying, devil, I rebuke you, devil, I rebuke you, devil. Because you keep looking at that, you're creating in agreement, a covenant there. You can shout at it all day, but if you keep looking at it, you're going to become it. Comes a time where you got to turn and say, listen, I'm a good man. I've had some bad stuff happen, but I got a good heart. God has preserved me. I'm a good man. I love God. I love people. I'm learning to love myself. I'm learning to be fair with myself. I'm learning to not put myself in bad situations. I'm learning to quit beating myself up every time I fail. Come on, somebody. I'm learning to forgive myself. I'm learning to be patient with myself. I'm learning to be long-suffering with myself. There's people who have committed suicide that has only been through 10% of what you've been through, and you're still here. Come on. Now, there's people who literally has taken their own life just at glancing at some of the trauma that you've lived with for 40 years. And you're still here. Be patient with yourself, man. Be patient. Learn to love yourself. You're still here. Why? Because there's strength in you. You're looking at all your weakness. I'm telling you, you're strong. You're stronger than you think you are. Sometimes you got to wake up, look in the mirror, and flex, man. I'm strong. I'm still here. You're not perfect, but processed is just as good. Amen, somebody. So we're going to get to this last part here. Watch.
This way, love has the run of the house, becomes at home and mature in us, so that we're free of worry on judgment day.
Ooh.
Our standing in the world is identical with Christ's. There is no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear.
So this is it. Well-formed love banishes fear. Now, everybody, I want you to put this down and take notes. I'm wrapping this up, but look. First of all, I want you to put this down. It is fear, not hate, that keeps us from self-love. The reason why you are struggling to love yourself is because you fear the greatness that's there. The reason we do not take steps towards the things that we are called to take steps toward is because of fear. It's not hate. It's fear. You're afraid. How many can honestly say you struggle with taking steps because of a fear of failure? Why, though? Well, listen, why? Let me see your hands. Throw it up there. Listen, be comfortable with that. See how many people struggle with the same thing? Common struggle here, right? I think everybody got it. Why, though? Because of what it means if you have to see yourself in the mirror having failed. Because you don't want to admit that maybe you never should have done it, or maybe you wasn't good enough or qualified. These are all conversations one has to have with self in order to really come into a place of loving self. What people don't tell you is failure is a part of favor. There's nobody walking in real favor that does not have failure. It's a part of the turnaround. Put this down. You're taking notes. One last thing here. Roll over to 1 Corinthians 13 for me. Watch this. We suffer more from imagination than from reality. We suffer more from the way we imagine ourselves than we actually do the reality we're sitting in. The way you see yourself is tormenting you much more than your actual situation. Tonight it was my desire that it's not that I want you to embrace some side of you that's rooted in sin or rooted in something that the Holy Spirit is trying to get you to be delivered from. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm trying to get you to see is that it is loving yourself the way God loves you that is going to become the fuel to launch you into the future God has designed for you. I'm not saying we're perfect. I don't think anybody would even come away with that. There's so many sides of me that I don't like. There's so many things that God is working on me, and it seems like ever since I got in my 40s, this stuff is manifesting at a different level. Which is always good, though, because that's how God heals. When stuff comes to the surface, that's because he's rooting it out. That's how he heals stuff. And it is so imperative that before you get healed, you're going to have to start loving yourself. Look at 1 Corinthians 13 real quick. Go to like verse 8 or 9 or 7 or somewhere in there. Yeah, keep going. Swing down. I'll tell you when to stop. Give me that mirror back there. Let me see that. Look at all this. Keep going. Go. Yep, right there. Nope, go all the way back up to 4. We're going to get there. All right. Watch this. So verse 5 here. Watch this. No, I'm sorry. Where are we at? All right, yeah, verse 4 right here. Look. This is how you're supposed to see yourself. Love is patient. Uh-huh. Are you being patient with you? How do you feel when God does this? How do you feel about this individual right here? You've been through a lot of stuff, man. I don't know if you can give grace to this kid. I don't know if you can learn to love this person. The Bible tells you to love everybody else, but man, you got to start with you, he said, first. How you feel about her? She's been through a whole lot of stuff. This person right here is who God loves, so... Well, he said, man, what he created, he didn't say it was very good until he created mankind. God will create your environment, make that look good first, but it ain't very good until you get there. Look, what is it about this person? Why are you judging her so harshly? Why are you so hard on him, Jabin? Why are you beating him up, Sydney? That's a good man. I see a good man right there. This is what the Holy Spirit does, man. I see a good man that I'm patient with. Why are you not being patient with you? Why you keep putting timelines that I've never put on you to heal? Why you keep rushing the process as if I'm going to give up on you if you don't get healed this month? Y'all hear me? You're valuable. You're valuable. Listen, this is so important. You know what a mirror is, right? It's frozen water. That's really what it is. This is how you should look at how they created mirrors, reflection. They didn't have mirrors in the Bible. So when Jesus said, peace be upon the water, the way they'd see themselves is look at calm water. So when Jesus says, peace be on the water, it's so that we can see ourselves without a distorted image. As soon as the water's unpeaceful, you look in and you see somebody you don't recognize. Trauma will do that. Storms will do that. you've been condemning yourself for years, giving grace to everybody but you. Forgiving everybody but you. Man, do you know what you've lived through and you're still here? I feel my heart just pounding right now because it is time, man, to minister to ourselves through the Spirit. When David said, man, I strengthened myself in the Lord, there's times and seasons when nobody will get you. Nobody understands. They can stand in judgment, but they don't have judgment. Is a lack of information. Most people that judge, they just stand with a place of ignorance. They don't know what you've been through. They're looking at the fruit, but they don't know what you've been bearing for years, and you're still here. You're better than this. I want you to stand to your feet. I don't know who's standing next to you. I want you to look at them right now and just say, you are loved. One more time, with all seriousness, look at them. You are loved. Be patient with you tonight. Be long-suffering with you. Look at... Love does not brag, it's not arrogant. Come on, keep going. Verse 5. He swing over to verse 5 just real quick. Watch it. This is all stuff we got to be to us. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered, man. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. I came here to tell you tonight simply that you are loved and it's time to believe it. I want you to bow your heads. Father, I thank you for this house. I thank you for these people. Woo! Help us, Father, to go through the journey to where the mirror becomes nothing more than an affirmation of the beauty of who you've created us to be. Father, right now I'm asking you to teach us to love ourselves. You have walked with us through the darkest seasons. You have walked with us through the hardest seasons. You know everything that we've endured through life, every betrayal, every trauma, every burden. When mom walked out, when dad walked out, what it felt like, how it feels to live a life still without approval, still without identity. You have been with us through every step and every journey. You know, Father, that so many of us are trying our best to become what you've called us to be. Help us to be patient with ourselves tonight. Help us to forgive ourselves tonight, to love ourselves, to learn how beautiful you have created us to be. In Jesus' name, you're a good, good Father, and you are pulling us into the identity that you have called us to be tonight. So, Father, right now, we remove self-condemnation. It's the worst kind of condemnation. We remove this judgment spirit that we have had towards ourselves. I want you to say this: I choose to forgive me. Come on, y'all. I choose to forgive me. I choose to love me tonight. Woo.
Love by you.
Can you just slip your hands up?
I am loved. I am loved by you.
We don't need the worship team. Just sing for where you are. Sing it.
I am loved.
Jesus, we thank you for your presence tonight, and we just ask you, Lord, Holy Spirit, speak through the journey tonight. As they leave this place, Father, let them be aware of this inner voice that is leading them, that's speaking to them. It's not just their conscience. It's not just them talking to themselves. It's thoughts that are influenced by the Creator. He absolutely loves us. And I thank you, Father, right now. I thank you for how beautiful each one of these that have come are. I thank you for the strength that has come from you. Help them to learn to love themselves through you tonight in Jesus' name. Can y'all shout amen? Do you receive this tonight? Amen, amen. Well, listen, we love you guys, and we're going to see you next week. Be in the house. Greet somebody on the way out. Welcome them. Greet them. Love on them. And we'll see you next week. God bless everybody.